To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
I was chatting with a client a couple of weeks ago on Zoom, and we were talking about how very often we get the wrong impression of people. He told me that he had had a couple of pints with a good mate of his the previous Friday night, somebody who, when they encountered each other the first time 12 years ago, took an instant dislike to each other. He said, I thought the guy was a big bully. Certainly that's the first impression I got of him. And when I reflected on it subsequently, because this guy has been a client of mine for years, he said, I realized that it was my automatic mind that made that impression. In fact, he said, the more I reflected on it, the more I realized that the guy reminded me not of somebody who had done me down in the preceding 10, 20 or 30 years, but he reminded me of a guy who pushed me around in the schoolyard when I was probably only about 5 years old. Our minds play tricks on us. I was chatting to somebody over a pint in Ireland last weekend. I'm still getting over the experience of drinking pints in Ireland for a whole weekend. But I was chatting to this guy over the weekend, and he was bemoaning the fact how at 52 years of age, it was, quote unquote, too late for me in life to do that. Now, you don't need to know what that actually was. The point I'm making is that he thought that 52 years of age was too old to do something he wanted to do his entire adult life. It's like someone else said to me a couple of months ago, on his 50th birthday, that he regretted not doing some things in his life, as a result of which he felt and found himself stuck at 50 years of age. 50 years of age! Sure, the gig is only getting going at that age. Indeed, I was talking to somebody else who bought the online program, The Psychology of Success, a couple of months ago. In advance of making her purchase, she emailed me to ask if I thought 76 years of age was too old to delve into experiencing life to the full. As I said to her, you wouldn't be the oldest online program owner by at least a decade. Our minds play tricks on us. Now, I could have gone on to say, you know, you're never too old and life begins at 50 or whatever, but that's not what this episode is about. It's about how our mind is constantly playing tricks on us. Let's go back to the mate with whom my friend had a couple of pints, who reminded him of somebody who pushed him around the schoolyard in his formative years. Our way of making it through every day is based on how our automatic pilot enables us to make sense of what is going on without paying any attention to what is actually going on. Actually, let's roll back just a little further, back to when you are only 36 hours old. Because at 36 hours of age, we learn a facility which is known in cognitive psychology as habituation. Research on 36-hour-old children confirms that by that age, we have learned a process that enables us not pay any attention to something that we think we already know about. Now, the research actually goes into how at 24 hours of age or 12 hours of age, a newborn is totally and utterly fascinated by their parents' faces. But at 36 hours of age, they have become habituated to their parents' faces and are no longer paying the same amount of attention. At 36 hours of age. Habituation is one of the key things that enables ordinary, so-called normal crazy people make it through the day without paying a blind bit of attention to what is actually going on. The old Buddhist expression encapsulates it. Once you tell a child, look, that's a bird, the child will never see a bird again, because they assume that they know what they're looking at. Day in, day out, we assume that we know what we are experiencing. We assume that we know who we're looking at. And most importantly, obviously, we assume that we know who we are. I'll come back to that a little later. So by the time you're 36 hours old, you have learned an important facility to enable you, as a so-called adult, make it through the day without paying any attention to anything. I was actually going to say, and I actually cut it out of this recording, a so-called addict rather than so-called adult. But actually, I was possibly right the first time. We're addicted to thought. We're addicted to the way in which our automatic mind enables us drift from one day to the next without paying any attention to anything, as a result of which we're missing our lives. You know, just from a purely practical perspective, first of all, we're missing the opportunities that would otherwise lead us forward in our lives. And we're missing the people who may make a difference in our lives, which brings me back to my friend having a couple of pints with his mate on a Friday night, a mate to whom he took an instant dislike a few years previously. We are bumping into new people all of the time, but our automatic way of making it through the day ensures that we actually meet no one new. Now, I need to correct myself or at least clarify what I've just said, because there are times in our lives where we are struck by someone whom we have just met. Maybe someone who becomes the love of our life. We fall head over heels in love with somebody when our eyes meet across a crowded room. And, you know, it does happen. It happens all of the time. We had a dinner here during the summer with a couple of our 35-year-old son's best friends, and one of them was a couple, and my wife asked the girl, how did the two of you meet? Don't tell me it was our eyes met across a crowded room. She said, we were at an exhibition in Paris, and our eyes met across a crowded exhibition hall. It does happen. We are struck, for whatever reason, by perhaps, maybe this is the reason, the presence of others. And we are drawn into their presence so that the two of us happen to be present at the same moment. And that's when things click. And I use that phrase deliberately because our minds click when something strikes us. Our minds were clicking all the time when we were young and impressionable, learning how to make our way in the world through a process known as snapshot learning. Click, click, click. Now, during the third year of our lives, we were doing an awful lot of clicking. We learned how to communicate, collaborate, and negotiate with others. We learned how to manipulate others, and we learned the fundamentals of self, or at least I should say conceptual self, during the third year of our lives. We took psychological snapshots of how we felt when things were done to us. And that is the psychological explanation for why my friend took an instant dislike to somebody who he met actually outside the school while he was picking up his children, to whom he took an instant dislike. He wasn't taking a photograph of the person across that schoolyard. He was referencing and relying on the photograph that he took across another schoolyard in the dim and distant past, when he was young and impressionable, when somebody did something to him, and click, he took a psychological snapshot through the process, as I said, known as snapshot learning. Snapshot learning is extraordinarily powerful because it is the snapshots that our automatic mind takes when we are young and impressionable, that form the basis of our programming that enable us make it from one day to the next as adults. They don't enable us achieve our goals and objectives or achieve our dreams. In fact, the exact opposite. It is as a result of the snapshot learning that we took when we were 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 years old that a 50-year-old can say to me, it's too late for me to change. Or a 52-year-old can say, I'm far too old to do something that I've really wanted to do all of my life. This process known as snapshot learning also, as I said, gives us our impression of self. But I will come back to that in a minute again. I want to go back to how our minds play tricks on us in relation to who and what we encounter on a daily basis. And I want to explore the second big facility that we have that enables us to make it through the day. We've already explored, very briefly albeit, habituation that we learn in the first 36 hours of our lives. In the first 36 months of our lives, we learn a process known as categorization, or in ordinary everyday language, it could be best described as pigeonholing. People make an impression upon us, and as I said in many episodes before, largely as a result of something negative that is done to us. People make an impression upon us. We take the psychological snapshot, and that psychological snapshot creates a pigeonhole in our minds into which our automatic mind will pigeonhole others in later life. And that is why my friend said to me, I know that the guy who I had a pint with last Friday night when I met him first and didn't like him, I know he didn't remind me of somebody that I didn't like a couple of years prior to that. He ultimately reminded me of somebody who pushed me around the schoolyard when I was 5 years old. When he was 5 years old, he took that psychological snapshot and it formed one of these pigeonholes into which he would put people who he encountered in later life. Now, obviously, he had a variety of pigeonholes. We all have a variety of pigeonholes, good, bad, and indifferent. So some people, we will take an instant liking to them. Other people, we will take an instant dislike to them. And obviously, there will be other people who don't really matter to us at all in the course of our ordinary everyday lives as adults. But the fact of the matter is that because we pigeonhole people that we meet after the age of 13 years of age, when our selection of pigeonholes is completed, because of that, nobody matters to us in later life, except, as we said earlier on, if your eyes were to meet with someone else's eyes across a crowded room and click. Let me give you chapter and verse on how the process of categorization works for everybody over the age of 13 years. It's a simple example. It actually is one of the first examples in the online program, The Psychology of Success. You go into work in the morning, you're all dressed up for an important client meeting, and you walk past one of your colleagues, and your colleague says to you, that's a nice tie you're wearing. Now, they are only random words, random sounds that come into your auditory system. That's a nice tie that you're wearing. You have to make sense of those words, because otherwise they're just noises. Those words, those noises, are processed through your automatic pilot, through your ordinary everyday way of thinking. And whether you accept the compliment or deem what might have been a compliment an insult depends on a whole load of photographs that you already have stored in your subconscious mind and have nothing to do with what has just been said to you. First of all, you will interpret, that's a nice tie you're wearing, on the basis of the mood you're in at the time. You could be frazzled, late for that important client meeting, and you could be stressed out as a result and in a bad mood. The first hurdle over which anything coming into our psychological system has to pass is the emotional state in which we find ourselves. So if I'm in a bad mood, a compliment will be interpreted initially in the negative. Now, we must remember that our emotions actually dictate our understanding of what is going on in the moment and dictate the next thoughts that our automatic pilot will think. So in other words, if I'm in a bad mood, my automatic pilot's next thought will be a negative thought, which obviously puts me in a worse mood. It's a vicious circle. Secondly, I will interpret the compliment that I've just been given on the basis of how I feel about myself. Oh, now that's a whole other ball game to which I will come back in a couple of minutes. But so many people have such a low impression of themselves that that will probably add to the negative feeling if I was already in a bad mood by virtue of the fact that I'm running late. The third hurdle that comment has to pass is what I think of the person who has paid me the compliment. Now, I never met that person because the moment I encountered that person for the first time, my automatic pilot pigeonholed them within 4 seconds. So they were put in the good, bad, or indifferent pigeonholes on the basis of who they reminded me of when I was 3 years old. We never meet new people when we're using our minds normally. We never encounter new situations when we're using our mind normally. We only think we know what's going on. So therefore, when I come to the conclusion that this guy is slagging me by saying, oh, that's a nice tie you're wearing, and that he's actually trying to make me feel worse about myself, I'll react accordingly. Now, if, of course, I was in a good mood, if, of course, I had a reasonable impression of myself, and if I actually liked the guy because he reminded me of somebody that I liked when I was 3 or 4 years old, then I will react accordingly as well. The point is that I'm reacting to something that isn't going on. My reaction is automatic, and my reaction will actually make both our days either better or worse. It's madness. And this madness is going on all of the time. Your mind is constantly playing tricks on you. Now, if you are a 50 or a 52-year-old, your mind will be telling you, it's too late for you, mate. That's it. This is your lot. If you are somebody who feels that they are stuck, your mind will be telling you, you're stuck and you can't really unstick yourself, because think of the number of times you've tried to unstick yourself and what happened as a result. Our minds set ourselves up to meet the low expectations that we were given when we were young and impressionable, because when we were young and impressionable, we were prone to take negative snapshots rather than positive ones. We were prone to take psychological snapshots of how bad we felt when things were done or said to us. Now, we've talked about this in detail before. We've talked about how, as a result of two uncles laughing at a three-year-old when he broke into song, this guy couldn't stand up and make a speech in public 30 or 40 years later because he thought people were laughing at him. Because in order to enable us to make it through this moment, the automatic pilot will draw on the psychological snapshots that it took when you were 2 or 3 or 4 years old that are similar to the box into which the automatic pilot itself has already put the new event that you will never experience when you're using your mind normally. You need to go back and listen to that sentence because it sums up so much about what is wrong with our so-called experience of everyday life in this normal, crazy world of ours. And you need to also go back and listen to it for another reason, because I've never said it like that before and I doubt if I could repeat it. It is so important to realize that our daily encounters, that our daily experiences are a shadow from the past, and they are totally unrelated to who we're meeting now or what is actually going on in the here and now. But most importantly, our daily experience is colored, dirtied, poisoned, adulterated by how we feel about ourselves. Now, people have often said to me, God, they're awfully negative words that you're using in relation to how, for example, I feel about myself. But let's ask the question. Ask yourself this question. Are you perfect? I didn't say, do you think you're perfect? But the minute I've asked the question, your thinking mind will start evaluating it and come up with the obvious and predictable answer that, of course, I'm not perfect. I am what I am, little old me, warts and all. Now you're not little old you. Little old you, and all the perceived inadequacies that you might have, has nothing to do with who you really are. It is simply a shadow cast by the psychological snapshots that you took when you were young and impressionable, which have absolutely nothing to do with the here and now, but which have been colouring your experience, or your so-called experience, of every here and now since you were 12 or 13 years old. And it's a vicious circle. It isn't just that our emotions pick negative thoughts, which create more negative emotions. That's a vicious circle. But that's part of a huge, swirling, vicious circle that takes us from one day to the next, as if, you know, today is just another day. Regardless of what day you're listening to this, today is not another day. This is a unique day that you've never lived before, and you will never live again. And one that you won't live now if you're using your mind normally. Because when we're using our mind normally, that's a nice tie you're wearing, is just one of the little incidents that take place throughout the day that we don't experience. That we, using our normal, automated mind, try to make sense of, and in the process make total nonsense of what is going on, and in the process then react automatically to what we think is going on. That is why people get stuck. That is why people think that they can't move forward. That is why people think that because they failed in the past to change their lives, that they're going to fail in the future to change their lives. What got you to where you are in your life now is not going to get you to where you could be. Regardless of whether your perceived inadequacies are perceptibly balanced by your perceived strengths. It's all just perception. It all has nothing to do with the here and now. Your perceived strengths are as non-realistic as your perceived weaknesses, because they are all related to things that you learned about yourself when you were young and impressionable. And very often people are held back from being great, from doing what they really could do, by their perceived strengths. You need to drop your perceptions about yourself. You need to drop your low expectations. You don't need to have great expectations. You need to turn up to the here and now, because it's only when you turn up to the here and now that your mind will stop playing tricks on you. Or perhaps, more to the point, when you will turn the tables on your automated thinking mind. And in turning the tables on your automated thinking mind, discover that it has nothing to do with who you are, nothing to do with reality. And in time, if you use your mind correctly and take control of your state of mind, that mind that has been playing tricks on you will drift off into the mists of time. Now, if and when the thoughts that hold you back, the automated, repetitive, everyday thoughts that hold you back, if and when they do drift off into the mists of time, you're going to be liberated. You're going to be free to do not what you want to do. You're going to be free to do all that is best, to bring all that is best into your life and into the life of those whom you love. What we do when we meditate, if this is the first episode of my podcast to which you've ever listened, you need to go back, and you can go back over all of the 200 and something episodes, and in every episode meditation is mentioned. But when you meditate, I'll come back to it in a minute, when you meditate, you come into the here and now. And when you meditate regularly, the brain restructures in a way that disconnects your automatic pilot and allows your automatic pilot effortlessly drift off into the mists of time. This is not an analogy. This is not a metaphor. This is what actually physically happens in the neural structures of the brain when we take control of our state of mind by meditating regularly. And by regularly, I mean every morning, or as many mornings as are humanly possible. meditation is the only scientifically validated way that we as adults have of turning on our so-called attentional spotlight and paying attention to what is actually going on in the here and now. Actually encountering the guy that says to us, that's a nice tie you're wearing. Actually understanding what is being said, experiencing the interaction between the two of us. The interaction is completely different, by the way, from the automatic reaction that goes on in every what would otherwise be a proper interaction in normal crazy people's everyday life. In other words, as a result of regular meditation and in turning on your attentional spotlight and in restructuring your attentional spotlight and in your attentional spotlight's restructuring, enabling the key components of your brain that enable you to know what is going on and how to behave in the situation based on knowing what is going on, as a result of all of that, you begin to experience, first of all, reality as it is. More importantly, you begin to experience you as you really are. So many people, so many online program owners over the years have said to me, ooh, I surprised myself by saying something that I thought I wouldn't get away with. I super surprised myself by doing something that I thought I couldn't do. I've amazed myself. I hear this all of the time. And they're amazed because they only thought little old them couldn't do or say what has simply flowed out of them as a result of their being present and experiencing the reality of the here and now. When we experience the reality of the here and now, we encounter each new person that we meet. We really meet them. And that means that you will begin to meet people who will change the course of your life simply as a result of perhaps a one-off encounter. I have so many stories in relation to that. If you listen back through some of these episodes, they will pop their head up here, there, and everywhere. When we are experiencing reality, we experience each now as a new event, and we experience each new event as a potential opportunity. And if we're properly tuned in, we'll experience opportunities as synchronicities. In other words, things that lead us forward in our lives and things that our ordinary way of thinking could never have anticipated. That's why I said a few minutes ago, we don't need to replace our low expectations with great expectations. We need to throw our expectations away. Simply turn up to the here and now, experience it for what it is, and allow our own presence transform our lives as a result of the transformation that comes with experiencing the reality of the moment and the reality of who we really are in the moment. Because when we are present, we enter a state described by the University of Chicago as flow. And as I've said to so many people over the years, you know, when you're in flow, everything flows. We've just come back from a long weekend in Ireland where we were at a family gathering. That's why I might sound a little gravelly in the throat this morning. And for those 6 days, everything flowed in ways that we could not have anticipated because we simply turned up. We didn't even expect things to go well. We didn't expect for this, that, or the other to happen. And if we had expectations, our expectations would have been super exceeded over the course of those 6 days. You enter a state, as I said a moment ago, that the University of Chicago describes as flow. When you're in flow, everything flows. And so many people, whether they're struggling in their career or their business isn't performing the way they thought it would, and these people are obsessed with financial security or financial freedom, indeed most people are a little obsessed with their finances. But when you are in flow, everything flows, including cash flow. Now, that may sound a little odd, but over the 30 years that I've been doing this, I have seen people experience this again and again and again, from people who own their own businesses, from people who suddenly have their dream job land in their lap, to large multinational corporations who, like every other large multinational corporation in the world, was obsessed with the bottom line. And when they stopped obsessing about the bottom line, and when they started actually doing what they needed to do to move their organization forward effortlessly, found that the bottom line followed. And the bottom line followed in ways that no accountant on the face of this earth could ever imagine. And being an accountant in a former life myself, I can actually put my hand on my heart and say, that is fact. Your mind is playing tricks on you. The squatter in your attic, the automatic pilot that runs, or should I say ruins, your so-called experience of everyday life from one day to the next, is playing tricks on you all of the time. It is telling you stories about yourself, and sometimes you will enhance or embellish those stories about yourself, and then believe the embellished stories. We could have a whole episode on that, and maybe we will next week. But the point is, the squatter in your own attic, this person who doesn't exist, people often call it, oh, my personality. You know, somebody said to me last week, oh, I love my personality. I said, you mean you love somebody who doesn't exist? Because the personality is what modern cognitive psychology calls the conceptual self. The concepts are the photographs that we took when we were young and impressionable. Those photographs together form a body of work that is dragging the normal mind away from the reality of the here and now. They form a photo album of stuff that has nothing to do with the here and now. And yet, if you're using your mind normally, you will experience a vague shadow of the here and now based on the stuff that happened to you when you were 3 or 4 years old. That's not living. And that way of existing, dragging yourself from one day to the next, will only encourage you to believe that nothing is ever going to change. But then again, the truth is anything you care to believe. Experience something different through meditation. And as a result of experiencing something different through meditation, you will begin to believe that anything is possible. Because meditation is a process, it's a training process that enables us begin to experience the reality of the moment, begin to experience our own power, our own flow. And by that I mean, for starters, in your own body, begin to feel your own power, your own flow. Meditation enables us experience things that our thinking mind couldn't have imagined, as a result of which we become encouraged to open the door of the little life in which we thought we were living and step out into a world of unlimited possibilities. The only limitation on what you can achieve and what you can experience in life is the squatter in your attic who isn't actually there. Release yourself, liberate yourself one morning at a time through sitting down for 7 or 8 minutes and experiencing the reality of the moment through meditation. We train for 7 or 8 minutes in the morning to experience the here and now, so that we experience the reality of the here and now throughout the course of the day when we're not meditating. And that makes us the person who we really are. And creates the life force that we can really, really have.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.